I'll give you two choices for lighting. You can turn this thing off. So here's the first one, the one we're at. Well, let's just see if we're at the one I think we're at. Okay, this is choice number one.
Okay.
Choice number two. It's not what I thought it was, so that's stupid. Choice number one, okay?
Yeah. Take a couple.
A what? No.
It's a fractal knot pipe to it.
It's a fractal.
Yeah. It's a fractal knot pipe. A fractal knot. Yep. Pipe.
I don't know. It looks cool.
That usually stops people. Yeah.
Talking to us about software for algebra and geometry experimentation.
Okay, thank you, and thank you as one of the organizers, and thanks to all the other organizers for this wonderful conference. Possibly unlike some of the other talks, everyone here is going to understand really everything, at least in the first half of this talk. And moreover, you're going to have ideas and thoughts about what I say, and they really will be valuable, and you should let me know what they are. It's very likely that almost everyone here will have some useful idea that I will want to hear about, okay? So do tell me.
So what I'll talk about today is SAGE.
And just to lead off, here's a quote from an email I received from an Italian who I've never met. And it says, "Dear SAGE community, my name is Tiziano and I'm from Italy. I'm writing this mail first of all because I would like to thank you all for SAGE. It's something the world is really missing." And then he goes on to say, "Every free computer algebra system I've tried has reinvented many times the wheel without being able to build the car."
And I didn't build that car, but trying to do an analog of this for computer software.
So this talk will be... Wait, please.
Does NSF support the car?
The answer is definitely no.
So
the talk is divided into two parts. Each will take about 20 minutes. And the first is really some background motivation, so it'll be kind of philosophical. And basically, I'll try to answer the question, why bother making any more mathematics software now that you have Magma? Isn't that enough for everything you'll ever need to do? As a context for doing mathematics. I certainly thought for the last 5 years that that answer to that question was yes. Now that we have Magma, all my desires are satisfied.
But there is more out there. For the second part of the talk, I'll give you kind of a tour of Sage and a status report about the functionality of Sage. So first, here's a timeline that's fairly rough. It lists a bunch of very famous computer algebra systems. The first one, Maxima, from the 1960s, was written in Lisp. It was spelled differently back then, but now it's spelled Maxima like the Nissan car, which is really annoying when you try to do a search for it online. So that started in the 60s, and I use it almost every day still, so it's really a useful piece of software. There's a couple of other, the ones in green cost money, that's why they're green, that's the color of money. Mathematica, very famous, very powerful for symbolic and numerical computation. Maple, I don't know exactly when they started because I didn't have internet access when I was preparing my talk last night. And Axiom, Axiom did start in, I think, 1971 as a commercial product and then later became open source and free. Or at least parts of it. But originally, I think it started as an IBM research project. It's a computer algebra system. And then in the 80s, Magma really started in around 1973 as Cayley, but I think it really became Magma in the 80s. And GAP was sort of motivated by similar interests to Magma as far as problems that it would solve, but it's blue instead of green. That's the main distinction for the purposes of the timeline. And then the software that started in the 1990s is all blue. Singular is a piece of software for polynomial arithmetic, which is free. Macaulay 2 is another one that's developed more in the US. And interestingly, one of the main authors of Macaulay 2 is also one of the original authors of Mathematica. Paris was started by Henri Cohn, who's sitting right here, I think in the very early 90s. And Sage was started by me about a year and a half ago. So these are some computer algebra systems. Axiom I put in red just because it switched from non-free to free. And I don't know whether there's any chance that the other green ones would be more free than they are right now. I think it's unlikely, but I'd love to be proved wrong, of course. So now I'm going to tell you what Sage is.
If you went to the Sage Bistro, you'll learn that Sage is the best kept secret in Vancouver. But you probably want to know what the secret is, so that's what I'll tell you. Okay, Sage is three things. First, it's an acronym that stands for Software for Algebra and Geometry Experimentation. Originally, it stood for Software for Arithmetic Geometry Experimentation, but that was too limiting. And the person, David Joyner, who so far has helped me the most in writing Sage, did a lot of algebra and geometry that really doesn't fit under the heading of arithmetic geometry. So by slightly changing the name, I suddenly had a huge amount of free labor. So it was a wise thing to do. And so you should take algebra and geometry in the broadest possible terms. So here's what it is. It's three things. It's a completely free and open source distribution of math software. The platforms that it's aimed at are Windows, OS X, and Linux. So for example, Solaris, good luck. It has run under Solaris, but it's not really at all aimed for that. That's one thing it is. So that's a problem that you could think about independently of anything else. It's kind of annoying if you look around at what's free and open source that's out there for mathematics. You find a lot of little programs. Many of them are available under confusing or non-existent licenses. Often they're only available in source code form or in a binary that doesn't work on your computer. So you have to try to compile them, and then you run into dependency issues. And it can be very frustrating. Some programs are, free math programs are quite easy to use and compile and install, but others are very difficult. And there's just a wide range. For example, Perry is very easy to install in almost anything, whereas Singular is an extreme challenge to install, so or to build. So that's one thing that Sage is. Instead of just having a huge hodgepodge, what I did was I looked around for the very best of each type of software. that's freely available, put it all together in one distribution where you type make, and all the dependencies are in there as well. And in many, many cases, it just works. You get a build of most of the software that you might want that's freely available. The second thing that Sage is an entirely new computer algebra system, which uses all the other stuff that is in one. So when you sort of survey what's available in the free world, so to speak, you'll notice that there are a large number of annoying gaps when you try putting it all together. So the idea of Sage 2, a new computer algebra system, is to fill in those gaps. And the gaps are extremely obvious in arithmetic geometry because many people, for example me, have written everything in Magma and for many, many years and not maintained a corresponding free program. So for example, I wrote a lot of modular forms code in the late 90s in C++, which was free. Then when I discovered Magma, I completely stopped maintaining that code and it didn't move forward at all. So for example, I'm very guilty of making it so that there's a big gap in what's available freely. Another thing that Sage is it's a way to use your software that you already have in a better way, in a more flexible way. So for example, I often use Sage and use Magma from within Sage, or even Maple or Mathematica from within Sage, because the fact of the matter is I really, really, really like Magma a lot, and I don't want to stop using it. I just want to, well, you'll see. And one other thing which is really relevant to this audience is that I'm a number theorist, so Sage, the choice of software, and what I'm putting in there personally has a strong number theoretic bias. So hopefully that philosophically sort of maybe a little answered the question, what is Sage? But I'm sure if I were you and I heard about it before, I would just feel frustrated at this point. So here's some philosophy. This is a quote. It's not my own. It's a quote of Joachim Nabusser, and he's the guy that started the computer algebra system GAP, which is the best open source free program for doing group theory. So here's this quote. You can read Seelos' theorem and its proof in Hubert's book in the library. And then you can use Seelos' theorem for the rest of your life free of charge, assuming nobody ever patents it. but for many computer algebra systems, license fees have to be paid regularly, which, as you all know, can be very expensive. You press buttons and you get answers in the same way as you get the bright pictures from your television set, but you cannot control how they were made in either case, which to people like us who really want to understand every detail sometimes of what's going on can be frustrating when you run into a wall when using non-free software. With this situation, two of the most basic rules of conduct in mathematics are violated. In mathematics, information is passed on free of charge and everything is laid open for checking. Not applying these rules to computer algebra systems, that is making it so you're not allowed to check that the math you're using that's been automated on a computer is sensible. Not applying these rules to computer algebra systems that are made for specifically for mathematical research means moving in a most undesirable direction. Most important, can we expect somebody to believe a result of a program that he is not allowed to see? So this was Joachim Nabusser's quote from the early 1990s, and my impression, just as a mathematician 13 years later, is that definitely we have, for the most part, moved in that most undesirable direction. Certainly I did. So that's one. That's just a little bit of the philosophy or the motivation for why you might care about making an open source or at least surveying what's available that we can actually read in available mathematics software. Second, Sage is a new computer algebra system. Just to emphasize that a lot of work goes into this, every time I talk about Sage, I give something that lists the number of lines of code. And amusingly, the first thing up there lists the number of unique lines of code, because sometimes two lines look the same. For example, the empty line looks the same as any other empty line. So Sage has about 73,000 lines of unique code. This is code that's beyond what I got by incorporating all these other already written systems. And if you don't count unique lines, then there are about 140,000 lines of code. I don't know what proportion I wrote of that, probably 80%. But that proportion's constantly shrinking. Also, one thing with Sage is that there's a huge amount of example input that is automatically tested and verified to give the claimed output, and there are now 11,000 lines of example input to the system. All right, so now I'll just tell you a little bit about the components that make up Sage. So that's that really goes back to one, what is in this open source system. But in particular, so it's a new computer algebra system, what is it implemented in? Am I writing yet another language for mathematics? Magma has its own language that they invented in the, mid-80s, that was supposed to be a lot better than Fortran. And GAP has its own language, Mathematica has its own language, Maple has its own language. Actually, any computer algebra system that's been really successful that you can think of has its own language designed by the people that wrote the computer algebra system. I'm not doing that, mainly because I'm lazy. It's a huge task to write a language. So instead, I took the language that was as close to Magma as I could find, but on the other hand, was very mainstream. So for example, this language, Python, is the number three language at Google. It's everybody's used programs that are written in Python, I'm sure, because you've used Google. It's nice because it's a completely free open source language. There aren't any weird issues involving, is it Java, where it's almost open source, and it gets more and more almost open source. Maybe Java's open source by now, but there are all these issues there. So you can just download Python. You can compile it on most computers in about a minute and a half from source. It's pure C. It's pretty easy to build. It's written by this Dutch person, Wido van Rossum. And it's fairly mature. It was written 17 years ago, I think. 15 years ago. Whoops. I guess it's not 2000. Yeah, it's not 2008 yet. It was designed really from the beginning to be a gluing language. He wanted a very easy to extend language because the place where he worked, the language they had made, was not very easy to extend. The only way to extend it was to ask the people who wrote the language to add something in. So he wanted to make a language that anyone could extend easily, which makes it very suitable for my purpose. It has a vast range of libraries. It comes with a web server. It has really good support for 2D and 3D graphics, numerical analysis. Applied mathematicians, like the people at NASA, have been using Python extensively for a long time, so it has great support for numerics. The code, I personally find it easy to read, and I've tested this out. For example, I taught a workshop to 16-year-olds for the last 2 weeks on the congruent number problem, and we used Python a lot, and they seem to just pick it up really quickly, which is a good sign. But also, with very little instruction, a number of people around the world have made very subtle and deep changes and added a lot of code to what I've written so far. And they did that because they were able to read what I've written. So it's a readable language. It's designed so that, unlike most languages, there's basically one way to code something. So there aren't a whole bunch of different ways to put braces in or begin end blocks, or it's sort of the anti-Perl, if you know about Perl, it makes it a little harder and a little frustrating when you're writing the first time, but when you're reading it later, you're happy, especially when you didn't write the code, or even better if you did. There's also an excellent command line that was written by an applied physicist at University of Colorado. It's called IPython, and it's literally the best command line I've ever used in any command line program. It has a lot of nice features. For example, you're using the computer algebra system via the command line, you exit, and then you come back in your history. All the commands you typed from the previous session are still there. But it's also extremely extensible. For example, if you hate typing colon equals, you can make it so that when you type equals, it gets changed into colon equals. You can do kind of anything like that you might want. Let's see. So Sage is not, so you can write programs in Python, and you can view Sage really as just a Python library. So some extra code that you install is available for Python programs. So you can go to the bookstore, you can read about Python, and then learn it, and then start writing stuff for Sage. Also, Python has literally, I think, over 100 developers. They have a massive conference that dwarfs this one every year called PyCon. And all that effort's going into optimizing the interpreter and improving the language in a sensible manner. And I think that's really a lot better than me sort of sitting there trying to write an interpreter. So that's why I chose Python. Very quickly, there's also a language that looks almost identical to Python called Pyrex. And it, what you do is you write something that looks like Python, but you have a few extra extensions to the language. This program called Pyrex turns it into C code, and then the C code is compiled, and you can use it from your Python programs. And this is totally crucial because there's no way you're going to write a fast mathematics program in pure Python. I mean, people try, but it doesn't succeed very well. If you want to see an example, look at NZMath that Ken Nakamula is writing. It's not going to be very fast or usable. Now, that said, I don't want to knock that program because I've looked at the code and found it very useful as an educational tool. But I want Sage to be an industry standard program that's faster or as fast as anything else. And that just isn't possible if you write things purely with an interpreter. With Pyrex, it's nice because you have easy to read code. It looks like Python, so you don't have to switch back and forth between C and Python. And it's as fast as C if you are sufficiently careful and understand what you're doing. And it's very similar to the program that Bill Allenbear wrote called GP to C, in that you can write in an interpreter and have it turned into something that's then compiled. Now, this will begin to really answer the question, what is Sage? This is a list of computer algebra systems and pieces of software. Several of them were written by people partly written by people in this room. At least one comes to mind. For example, LCalc is a program of Mike Rubenstein, who's right there. It's built as part of Sage, and you can use it to compute zeros of L functions, et cetera, et cetera. It's nicely integrated into Sage. It just comes with Sage. But there's a whole bunch of other programs. MWRank is part of Sage. Parry is part of Sage, as I mentioned before. Maxima is part of Sage, so if you want to do symbolic manipulation, it's there already and integrated into Sage. There's some other programs. Macaulay 2 doesn't come with Sage, but you type one command in Sage and it will download the latest source code and then build it. And this does work pretty well. And you don't have to worry about all the very subtle dependencies that you would normally have in building Macaulay 2 because they're all included with Sage. There are no additional dependencies that aren't already included in Sage for building Macaulay 2, which is normally a very difficult thing to build. There are some other programs that certainly aren't included with Sage, like Cache, Magma, Maple, Mathematica, and Octave, and they're sort of obvious why they're not included with Sage, but they're all closed source as well, except for Octave. But there are interfaces to each of these, which I'll show you in a moment. All right, so that's the first half of the talk. Any questions or comments? Yes, in the back.
Why do you really like an
I don't know exactly, but I do. I mean, I spent, a week long with almost no sleep programming in Magma. I was doing mathematics research and I was just going into the computer without having to be frustrated by stupid intermediate stuff because Magma has such an amazing library of functionality available. Basically because I could get stuff done that made it so I was really doing mathematics instead of programming. And that made me happy.
Isn't that what everybody wants from mathematics software?
You want something that makes it so you're not thinking about software, you're thinking about the mathematics.
That was my experience. Except when I ran into a lot of things that made me not like it and frustrated me. But still, there are a lot of things I do like about it. So, any other questions or comments? All right, so on to the status report, which will actually give you a sense of what Sage is, since probably still really have no idea, given what I've told you, and I've showed you nothing, really. So just very quickly, I'm going to go into more detail about all of these in a minute. First, it can do a lot already. There's the ICM coming up, and somebody's putting together a DVD of all the math software in the world for a satellite conference. And in there, they have 15 problems from all over math, ranging from differential equations to logic to computing integer kernels of matrices. And with almost no work, I was able to get Sage to do all of them. Now, I lie a little because most of the work was forwarding the message to one of the other Sage developers and having him do all the problems. And there was only one that I think he wasn't able to easily do, and then I filled in, I filled in the details there. But if you look at the other systems, none of them can do all the problems, all the 15, whereas Sage can do all of them, basically because Sage includes interfaces to the other systems. It's sort of a cheat, but on the other hand, isn't that what you want? You want to not be worrying about which program you're supposed to use. You just want one program that can do everything under the sun. At least that's what I want. Not everybody wants that. I'm sure Don Zagier doesn't want that. But some people do. And hopefully I can give them something they like. Plus it's free. Can't complain about that. There are a lot of
So that's the first thing. It can do a lot now. There are a lot of growing pains. Sage definitely has bugs and annoying issues. They're getting steadily resolved over time. And it helps a huge amount when people actually use Sage and then tell me what doesn't work. So for example, at the Arizona Winter School, I observed some terrible misery among the grad students trying to as quickly as possible implement some things using Sage, and I learned a huge amount from this experience. And even more so, I learned a lot by throwing a bunch of 16-year-olds at Sage over the last 2 weeks. They found some really subtle bugs, so that was extremely neat. Like, we began each workshop with 15 minutes of trying to crash Sage. Which, after a while, they weren't able to do it. They couldn't crash it, but they still found bugs. There's a typo, mainstream. So it's really wonderful that Python is a mainstream language and that Sage uses it, but it's also problematic because, well, you have so many pros that there's got to be some cons. As my mom says, there's a little good and a little bad in everything, and there's definitely a little bad in using a mainstream language for mathematics, and that's annoying. If you just use straight Python and type 2 divided by 3, 2/3, you get 0, which is a little bit confusing because you should get the rational number 2/3. So Sage does some little trickery to get around these issues, but those cause other issues. So there are definite cons to this. But overall, I think the pros greatly outweigh the cons, because I would still be writing an interpreter, which isn't the sort of thing I'm good at anyways, if it wasn't for Python. And moreover, nobody would like it, because, I mean, it takes 15 years and a lot of brilliance to write a good language. So that's a problem. The binary installation isn't so easy, and I think that the main reason is that we haven't had a stable release yet. So it keeps constantly changing, and it's not so motivating for somebody to create a binary if, you know, a week later the binary is going to be out of date. So we're going to have a stable release in November, which means that on October 15th or so, we'll stop adding new features and fix every bug we can, or very clearly document the bugs that we can't fix, if there are any that we're aware of. Optimization is a huge problem right now still. New code that I've written to try to fill in the gaps, especially related to stuff involving linear algebra and modular forms, is slower than what you can get in Magma, which often what I do is I just run Magma anyways from within Sage to deal with this problem. And I will, of course, directly optimize things to improve efficiency. It doesn't affect, for example, if you have an entire program written in Perry, for example, the SEA program, which I'll show you in a moment, it's a complete Perry script. If you call it from Sage, you don't even notice you're calling it. You just make an elliptic curve in Sage and say e.sea, and give a prime, and it gives you a number of points. That program is exactly as fast as it would be running in GP, because it is running in GP. So you don't have the optimization issues there, but you do have optimization issues, certainly when you write new code. It would be that way with any computer algebra system. It's just that so much has been happening so quickly that it's been difficult to find time to optimize what's there now. And before I go on and show you a bunch of examples, let me just list what the long-term goals are for Sage. By long-term, I mean 4 years, maybe less, but certainly not 20 or 30 years. So I'm really thinking 3 or 4 years. So create the best software environment for all types of serious mathematics research. And that, of course, takes a lot of help from people in a lot of different areas. But that really goes into building the car. And in a number of areas, like in commutative algebra, they've really got pretty far already in the open source world. So it's not so bad. In combinatorial geometry, that sort of thing, they have a lot of excellent open source stuff already. And it's just a matter of integrating it. It's really nice. Build a large user base. That's where you can help. Try out Sage. Tell me what's wrong. Use it a little bit. Tell your students about it. Build a large developer base. Same thing. Because really, any user can be a developer. All you have to do is fix a bug or send me examples or whatever. Just improve the system. Another goal is to do things that aren't done well in any other free mathematics software at all, and possibly in non-free software as well. That is to fill in the gap that's out there. And there's a number of things. One, if you look at free mathematics software, none of them have a good GUI. There's X-Maxima, which is kind of a GUI interface to Maxima, but I wouldn't really put it on the same level personally with say, some of the other GUIs I've seen. I mean, it's just for Maxima. There's also TechMax, but it really doesn't integrate things from different systems, and some people don't like the interface to TechMax. Another thing that would be nice to do is, and by the way, I think I've solved the first thing. I think we do have a very nice GUI now. Another thing is to have very integrated support for distributed computation right in the program. So instead of trying to put your distributed computation on top of some other software, you have it built in, and that allows you to do much more flexible things. And I hired a student who had already done this sort of thing for the biology department at UW, and he's doing this for me right now. By the way, every time I've suggested a project like this to people in the last, many years ago, they always say, get some grad students to write everything. But they're actually totally wrong. By far, the best programmers are undergraduates. They are incredible, especially the younger undergraduates, like sophomores. They are way better at programming than your typical graduate student. And they get really excited because they start programming something, and then they overhear some computation they could do that's really relevant to some number theory research or something. And then they end up getting involved in research at the undergrad level, which is always good. So I'm really trying to build. I currently have 5 undergrads working for me. Plus, they are a lot cheaper than grad students. For example, sometimes they can get what's called work study, and then they cost you $3 an hour. It's amazing. Exact linear algebra doesn't seem to be as good as it could be in the open source world. Cryptographers are very good at it, but they're kind of secretive and don't generally want to make everything they do freely available for obvious reasons. Another thing, saving and loading individual objects. Python is very good at this, and hence Sage is. And that's something that a lot of systems aren't so good at. They try to hack it by maybe making the output format of the object look be inputtable again, which seems really good, but has a lot of issues. Start a foundation. This was suggested to me by a number of people, and I don't know how to do it, but at the next Sage Days conference, I hope we'll figure out how. And the long-term audience, just to be clear, it's not just research mathematicians. It really is undergrads, maybe even high schoolers, because that was my audience during the last 2 weeks, grad students, and both pure and applied mathematicians, because these guys are also better programmers than me, at least. I mean, there's some amazingly good applied mathematician programmers, for obvious reasons. Here's the schedule of upcoming events. There was a conference in 2006. There's a picture of it. There's David Cole saying, the first objects you should implement are the free objects in your category. So he's had a huge influence on the design of Sage, basically taking a lot of the ideas he developed working for Magma for maybe the last 7 years and telling me I better do that or else. And so I listened to him. Plus, he's written a lot of code. There's going to be a workshop in a couple of weeks at MSRI, and there's going to be a conference on Sage in Seattle, a workshop in the beginning of October. All right, now the last 15, there's the flyer for the conference. The last 15 minutes is just going to be some examples. So if you're the sort of person who just gets really annoyed when you see some code fly by or whatever like that, you only have to bear it for 15 minutes. Actually, I should leave this slide up for a second. This is a list of Sage developers. The ones in bold have sent me a lot of code recently. And this is me in my office with some of the undergrads. One other thing, unlike a lot of software, I try to make authorship extremely explicit. So instead of trying to make the name of the person who wrote it disappear, if you send me an example for a function or some documentation, your name's going to go right next to it. If you send me an implementation of a function, your name will be right there. Which is, of course, a double-edged sword, because if it's all wrong, then you know who to blame. But on the other hand, you get credit, and you can point to it. And I've done Google searches for people pointing to the Sage website, and occasionally it's specifically to document that they work on an open source project that isn't their own or something, that they contribute to other things. So I'm very, very clear about attribution. Of course, if you don't want to be attributed, you can call yourself Babaki or something. All right, so now examples and a quick tour. So first, here's the Sage website, and it has
There are a couple of links in the upper left. These are all ways you can just use Sage online without having to install anything on your computer except for one of them, Firefox, which is the best. Currently, this is an Ajax application that only supports Firefox. But you can click on any three of these links and use Sage immediately with no further work. So it's very easy to use. There's a download link. So these are the four big buttons. There's screenshots. But if you click on download, you get there's the source code, and building from source is the currently the preferred way. It's strongly supported and encouraged. But there are regularly made binaries for OS X, Linux, both 32-bit and 64-bit, Windows, and some other ways of running Sage. There, and you can read here exactly what's going on. Most of the development's out in the as much as possible, all development is in the open. There are mailing lists. You can read about all the discussions that are going on. Moreover, it's really, really in the open. You can go to this computer, sagemathwashington.edu, and click on Browse Home Directories. So this is a machine with 64 gigs of RAM and 16 processors. And you can look at the home directories of all the Sage developers and see what they're up to. So for example, this can be really fun. So you can look at here, and then people sort of, they put a working on file, and you can see what projects he's thinking about, sorts of things he's doing. He has his own repository here, so you can try it out. So it's a very, very open development environment. Okay, so that's the download. There's a documentation link. The documentation, there's a list of features that's, I'm sure, out of date. There's a tutorial, which is about 70 pages. It was written by David Joyner and some other people. And it takes about 2.5 hours to read. And if you're interested in Sage and can afford 2.5 hours, you can just go to the Sage, one of the online Sage calculators, so you can use it online and then try the examples in the tutorial out.
What's a non-trivial example?
Wait, did I say there were
non-trivial?
Oh, yes. So whenever somebody asks me to do a calculation, for example, Richard Taylor was really like, he needed some pictures of the Sato take conjecture because he just proved it. And the friends of, and the friends of Harvard were going to, reply to him not to give him money or to give Harvard money. So he panically wrote to me and said, give me some pictures of Sato Tate. And there you can see pictures of Sato Tate and the Sage program that I used to write them. So that's the idea. And then you can look through it how it works. By the way, there's a Sage program. So I haven't maintained this as much as I should, but I did some things related to the congruent number problem for a class, so I put it up. So for example, so there's little things like, see there's two bijections between triangles and points on a curve. Those are exactly copied from an email you sent to me, in fact. Believe it or not.
But with an app, with the attribution,
you can find your attributed for the curves of the same mod 5 representation. So you can find yourself there. The mod 5 family code you sent me. There's a file in Sage that implements that. If I had more time, I would point to that. The mailing lists are here, and this is just a list of all the programs, or not all, but many of the programs that are in Sage and links to the websites that host them. For example, Mike Rubenstein's LCalc program. Here's the relevant directory. And about, I think, 5 programs I got to become GPL'd by complaining to the authors because they didn't have any license at all. And once you do 5, it's easy to get a 6 because you tell them about the other 5 and so on. Okay, so that's the Sage website. So I've done that. The revision control system that the developers use for Sage is called Darks. It's a really nice distributed revision control system. It's totally different than CVS or SVN, if you've heard of those. And it's wonderful. The only problem is that I still, even with this, can't keep up with the volume of quality code I'm getting right now. So there's some tons of stuff I can't keep up with. So many people are sending me good stuff. But not so sad about that. There's a really nice command line. I'll just show it to you for few seconds. Here's the Sage command line. Watch. Wow. Very proud. They can do other things, like you can factor negative numbers. And, what? And what it's really doing here, when you factor, is it's calling the Perry C library by default. In fact, if you say verbose equals 4, oops, let's see, I need a bigger number. See, does that look familiar to Perry users? Indeed. So, there you are.
How can you find out it's using Perry at that?
Oh, you look at the documentation. So if you take, first if you say one question mark, it gives you the documentation. So if you give a function and question mark, it gives the documentation. This tells you what the inputs to the function are and what the parameters are, what the output is, gives a bunch of examples. And, oh, it doesn't really tell you, does it? But it does actually. It says Perry is the default. But if you're really curious and you want to know a little more, if you say double question mark, it gives the source code for that function, assuming it's written in Python. And if you go down a little farther, you see exactly what it's doing. And you'll see that at a certain moment, it is calling another function called factor using Perry. And you could look at the source code of that. At least you know the file that this is all in. It's listed at the top right there in the documentation. Okay. Now, notice I exited the program and then restarted it, but I still have the history of the previous things I did. This is a nice feature. I don't know why Magma and other programs don't have it. I asked Magma to put that in a few times, but they haven't. It's a really nice feature. It's just like Bash. I mean, Bash does that, right?
It's just a history.
Yeah, it's just a history, but it's persistent.
It's
from... Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, why? Every program should do that. It's annoying when they don't. GP doesn't do that, does it? It doesn't. Of course it doesn't. See? No, get nothing. It throws it away. It doesn't save it in a file. Maybe there's an environment variable. What? Yeah, yeah, but no, this is totally different. You quit the program and the program crashes or you get bored and you, I mean, who knows what happens. You still have what you typed before, which is nice. So anyways, trivial little thing, but there's a lot of, tons of trivial little things like that that really make this command line wonderful. There's a really nice profiler built into it, which really is just something that comes with Python. There's an interactive debugger that is included with it as well. All right, so that's all I'll say about the command line. Next, there's a graphical notebook, which I'm going to show you all the other examples in. And a lot of people wanted a GUI. I never thought it would be at all, you know, useful to have a GUI for mathematics. I was very happy with the Magma command line. And I thought it was all kind of silly, but I had this undergrad working for me full-time who was used to using Mathematica, and he really kept pushing for it, and this guy, Alex Klimashaw. And I'm glad that he did, because now I'm hooked on using a GUI. I find it extremely useful for mathematics. So we've written one, and it doesn't reinvent the wheel as much as possible. It simply uses your web browser as the graphical environment, plus a bunch of JavaScript and a server. And the server is just built into Python, so you don't need some extra web server or something. Sage itself is easily in Python you can easily implement a web server. So the combination of a bunch of JavaScript in a browser, some nice CSS, and a web server, and if you put it all together right, you get what's called an AJAX application, which is what this is. And you get sort of lots of interesting benefits, like you can start the kernel, if you like, one place, and then have a whole bunch of different web browsers access it at the same time from other locations. Okay, so now I'll show you some examples with this. So here's the GUI. You can change all the colors. It's all CSS, so you can style it however you want. Here's an example that illustrates using the Cremona database, which you get included with Sage. So in the first line, I get the Cremona database and I say question mark, then I call a function on it, ask how many curves are in there. The red along the left-hand side means no cells in here have been evaluated yet during this session. Whoops, what is wrong? Oh, okay, so now started up Sage in the background, and then there's number of curves, so there's tab completion. So the way Python works is you have an object and you call methods on it by saying the object name dot tab. You can hit, I mean, the object name and then the method name. You can say tab and you get a list of all the methods that you can call. And if you type some letters, you get tab completion. You get the ones that start in a given way. And if you hit the tab key again, you get the documentation for that particular method. And if you put double question mark, oh yeah, then you get the source code right there. Anyways, so calling this function, which is what I'll do in the next line, you find out how many curves there are in the database. So here they are. There's 782,000. And there's similar functions, the number of isogeny classes, the largest conductor, and then there's the raw data that's in there, which you don't actually have to use if you don't want to. But if you're doing something that needs very fast access to the whole database, you want to use the raw data as it's stored as Python data structures rather than the Sage versions of them. So for example, where it says list the Cremona curves, there, this lists all the curves in Cremona's tables of conductor 11, 37, and 389. So it's just an easy thing to do. And that Cremona curves thing returns an iterator, which is like a lazy list of those things. Also, given any curve, you can, and this is a very popular curve when people try to make up a random curve to try something on. So it turns out there's a command Cremona label, and it turns out that one's 10,351A1. So that's a really handy command to have Cremona label. Okay, so that's the database of Cremona. Then John Jones, are you here?
Yeah.
Well, he made some really cool databases of number fields. And they're in Sage. You say Jones database, and then you can say, give me all the number fields in there that are unramified outside of 11, and it lists them as number fields. And you can also get them more efficiently as a dictionary if you sort of want direct access to the polynomials. For example, here, this gives the fields that are unramified outside of 5 and 31. They're listed there. Okay, the Stein-Watkins database. This is over 2 gigabytes, so I don't have the entire thing on my laptop, but you can iterate through it. And I use this a lot in calculations for a paper I wrote recently. But it's over 100 million elliptic curves, and you can just iterate through them in Sage. So you get the database, and you call the next function, and it keeps giving you isogeny class after isogeny class of elliptic curves. Another example, the Sloan Encyclopedia of Integer Sequences is an easy-to-download optional package for Sage. So, for example, you can ask it to find all sequences that begin with the primes up to 100, and so on, and it'll show you. Another one, you can ask for the number of digits of numerators of Bernoulli numbers, and there's one sequence that matches, and as you'll see in a moment. And there it is. It just tells you the number. There's also a version of this that will look things up online and give you more information. That's comes standard with Sage. Here's an example of computing with elliptic curves. Often you have an elliptic curve, and then you want to run MW rank on it. So all you do is you make the elliptic curve, you say e.mw rank, and it gives you exactly the output. And you can pass any parameters that you normally pass to MW rank to this command. And you see exactly what MW rank outputs. You can also ask it to compute analytic ranks, the analytic order of Shaw, the conjectural order of Shaw, the L series at various points, omega. These two calculations just use the Perry-C library. Tamagawa numbers via the Perry-C library. Another function that isn't in any other computer algebra system is you can ask it for the primes P, which the mod P representation is not surjective, and why. Because I needed that for a paper. You can ask for another thing that, again, isn't in computer algebra systems. You can give it a Huebner discriminant, and it'll tell you the index of that in the full group of rational points. And it does it without actually computing the Huebner point, at least in some cases. Or that's the better thing to do. You can also apply Kato's theorem or Colle-Vegan's theorem and get bounds on the order of Shaw, at least if the curve has rank 0 or 1, respectively. And you can compute lists of points. And isogeny class, if you have an elliptic curve, you can get the entire isogeny class of the curve, either via MW rank's C++ library interface or via some Perry programs that John Cremona wrote. Okay, another example, this illustrates more sophisticated L function computations with elliptic curves. Mark Watkins wrote a C program which initially depended on Perry, and he wouldn't release it under an open source license for some reason. Until I informed him that since it depends on Perry and Perry's GPL, that it has to be GPL. So he spent 2 weeks writing it so it didn't depend on Perry anymore. So now it depends on nothing. Then he released it under a license much more open than the GPL. I'm not quite sure why or how, but that's what happened. In any case, it's in Sage with his blessing, and it computes symmetric power special values for elliptic curves. So LSIM2, LSIM4, and so on. It's pretty amazing. Dotschitzer wrote a GP package for computing L series, and that's in Sage. So you can use it to compute, for example, the L function at any point you want, or the derivative, or any higher derivative you want at any point, which is really fun. And you can draw little pictures, since Sage has nice graphics. That's what Alex Klemashaw wrote, nice graphics for Sage. So that's the image of the critical line under the L function of a certain elliptic curve. This next thing, you ask for this, the zeros of the L function in an interval, and in Mike Rubenstein's program, is run, and it computes the, what this is, these are the imaginary parts of the zeros of the L series of that elliptic curve up to 10. So it just spits them out. You don't have to know anything about Mike's program to use this. So of course you should, if you use it, you should read everything about Mike's program. SEA, you just say, and this all comes standard with SAGE, you have an elliptic curve, you say E dot SEA, give it a prime, and then it will compute the number of points over a finite field. And this program is very good. It's written entirely in GP and so on. These are some examples of plotting an elliptic curve. So there's, it draws, you know, pictures of elliptic curves, which is just fun, especially if you're teaching. Here's another example where I made elliptic curves for kids. So this is like Cremona's table, but for kids. And Brian Birch is having a 75th birthday party, and this is going to be the cover of his card, hopefully. Except with more curves. Here's some examples. I took my favorite elliptic curve, 389A, and reduced it modulo various primes and graphed the number of points very easily with just a few lines of code. This is the elliptic curve over, I think, GF997, right there, right in the upper right. So it should be pretty random. Here's the Sato-Tate thing I mentioned earlier. So some examples, some more examples. Okay, and here's some examples that illustrate using other systems. Take next year and factor it, and factor it using cache, factor it using gap, factor it using Perry, factor it using Perry again. There's a strong distinction between the two Perrys, though. One is Perry and the other is GP. Perry is the Perry C library, GP is the GP interpreter. And they really are different things for SAGE. When you do the first one, it makes a Perry object using the Perry C library. When you do the second one, it starts up a copy of the GP interpreter, keeps that running forever, unless you kill it, and factors, or tells it to factor that integer. Maxima can factor, cache can factor directly, magma can factor. So if I do that, it starts up a copy of magma. Oops, I have to define n, of course. Minus 2007, starts up a copy of magma, and it will factor. You can actually start multiple factors going on at the same time. Again, I haven't defined n, et cetera. And you can also, if you put percent and the name of a system, you can put a whole block of code for that system. So this GUI is, in fact, a GUI for all computer algebra systems. Another example involves saving and loading. I make a polynomial in two variables and save it and then load it, and also the same thing with a matrix. By the way, a neat thing about using a web browser is that they're really good for looking at big chunks of text that might go really far off to the right. See, you can turn off word wrap, and then you can just, you know, look at this matrix even though it's huge. See, it's kind of nice. It's hard to do that in a console. Another example, make the compositum of two number fields. Again, this is just calling Perry to do it in the background. Compute the Galois group. It gets the Perry Galois group, but that gives a label that can be input into gap. And then gap, I mean, that's all going on behind the scenes. You get a group in gap, and you can ask for things like conjugacy, class representatives, all the normal subgroups, and so on. So you can use gap and Perry together to do things that neither one of them could do by themselves. And you do it almost seamlessly. And this is really the right way to use SAGE. Here's an example involving combinatorial geometry, which is the last example, which really isn't a number theory example at all. I make the twisted cubic. I verify that it's really a twisted cubic. That involves using singular, which is included in SAGE. I then compute the Grobner fan of this, the ideal corresponding to the twisted cubic, which uses a program called GFan, which is popular with people that study toric geometry, or toric varieties. Then I ask for the reduced Grobner bases, and they get listed, as you can see. And then there's this thing, PolyMake, which is a quite very difficult program to compile by itself. But anyways, you can compile it, and it'll do some really neat things, like compute the Newton polytope of some sort of polynomial in many variables. OK, so that is my talk. Any questions? Yes?
So in going to the website, I noticed there's a link to something called bug tracker, and it says parentheses hardly used.
I have a different bug tracking system than that particular one.
Okay. So
let me see. I think it's under download. Let me think. It comes, when you download the source tarball or the other one, you get a file which has a list of all bugs, and here's what that file looks like. It's probably hard to see from there. So as a bug, an example, illustrate it. Sometimes they're just feature requests and so on. It's just a plain text file, but it works really well. And it comes with every copy of Sage. And there's a big note at the top asking people for input and ideas for fixing it, for fixing things. The other bug tracker was so painful to use that it didn't get used very much. And you have to fill out all these weird forms. What do you need in a bug report that you can't really just put in some plain text? Well, probably a lot, but... Okay, any other... Yes?
To what extent is Sage intended as a replacement for Mac?
I would very much like to make it a complete replacement as far as my research is concerned. Because there are poor people in the world who cannot afford Magma, and I feel like I'm doing a service. And I do regularly get emails from third world countries from people who are very appreciative that they can use anything at all. So in the sense of public service, definitely it's meant as a replacement. You could barely see it from my talk, but if you look at the actual design and the functions that are there and the functionality, it's modeled very much after Magma. I mean, a lot of the top-level design was me and David Cole, both of whom really liked Magma and liked the very nice structure. The nice thing is that Sage is object-oriented, and you have an inheritance, or Python is object-oriented, and you have an inheritance hierarchy, so you can, you know, impose structure much more clearly than you can in Magma, where you don't have nearly so good of an inheritance hierarchy. On the other hand, Python is, I think, a much more complicated language or sophisticated language than Magma, which is a double-edged sword. Other comments or questions?
There's nothing else. Thank the speaker again.